o'clock, Rogers ordered the ship cleared for action. A marine drummer beat the familiar call to quarters as the crew raced to battle stations alow and aloft. By now, the breeze had hauled around to the westward and was lighter. Rogers positioned himself at the starboard bow chaser on the forecastle, with two midshipmen acting as messengers. Despite his very best efforts, Byron was unable to get away. The president kept creeping closer. At 11:30, still confused as to what was happening, Byron hoisted British colors in answer to the president and her lagging companions, which were already flying American standards. At 4:20, more than 8 hours after first sighting her, the president at last pulled to within gunshot range of the Belvedere. The wind was from the west-southwest and diminishing. Still unclear as to the intentions of the nearest ship, and seeing the odds stacked mightily against him, Byron did not want to initiate a fight. But his only chance of escaping was to shoot first and smash enough of the president's spars and rigging to slow her down. He decided to run out his stern guns, two 32-pound carronades and two 18-pound long guns, and be ready for anything. Not wanting to shoot accidentally, however, he ordered his lieutenants to have the gunners prick the cartridges but not prime the guns. He would wait and see what the Americans intended to do. Byron did not have to wait long. Rogers pulled to